You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. What we want. You're listening to On the Couch, On the Couch with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you are officially on the couch. Welcome, everyone. Hope you're having a great day. Make it more so and keep it here on the couch. Got a great show for you today. You know, one of the most common things that many of my women patients say to me is, why am I always attracted to the wrong guy? And many of the men who come to see me ask, why do I always pick the crazy women? Right? You've heard that from your friends? Or a lot of my single patients say, it's really hard to find good single people out there who might be keepers. You hear that a lot? Have you been online trying to meet people? Have you been going to social activities trying to find some people? And maybe you're attracted to the wrong kind of people. Well, if you or someone you know is in this situation, you must not tune out today, because you're going to find the answers to many of these questions from my special guest today. He's written a manual on dysfunctional relationships. He is Ross Rosenberg, and Ross is also going to help you understand yourself better and let you know why you pick the people you do. I mean, why do you pick these people? He's an experienced psychotherapist, owner of a counseling agency, national speaker. We'll talk a little bit about his lectures, and also author of the latest book, The Human Magnet Syndrome, Why We Love People Who Hurt Us. What a great title. Ross, thanks so much for coming on the show today. I really appreciate it.
And thank you, Michelle. I really appreciate coming on.
Oh, good book.
Thank you.
Boy, I haven't seen a book like this. I mean, it really helps a lot of people understand themselves and why they get into these destructive relationships, you know?
It's a book that wrote itself.
There you go. Well, oh, good. I want to get into that and find out. Can you tell listeners, by the way, what is the human magnet syndrome? I'm fascinated with that.
The human magnet syndrome started off as trying to find one sentence that would explain the book. And the book is about why we healthy or dysfunctional individuals, as we'll talk about later, are always automatically, if not magnetically, attracted to a certain personality type. And as it seems, opposites, a person who's more on the others' orientation or more on the codependent side is always attracted to someone who's more on the self side or the narcissistic side. And these two opposites are like opposite sides of a magnet and always find each other, even if they don't want to. So I talk about the human magnet syndrome as the reflexive, unconscious, and automatic attraction to a certain personality type that often is harmful to if you're a codependent, you often find someone who's harmful to you.
Oh, boy. You know, Ross, you've been a psychotherapist for over 25 years. And
I know. And I'm only 30.
Wow, you started early, man. You're my hero. You know what? I know you've seen this a lot and heard that. I mean, this is just screaming, write a book, man, because it's what we see all the time, right?
Well, actually, it was screaming in my head, stop it, Ross.
Stop it, Ross.
Like, well, women that are hurtful.
Yes.
And that, and it paralleled with my work. It's like every person that I saw described, every person I saw that had relationship problems described the same problem.
Wow. Yeah.
And eventually, through my own personal journey, my own personal discoveries, and my work with my clients, it came to me that there's this pattern that we all fall for someone, whether you're healthy or unhealthy, we fall for someone that fits us perfectly psychologically. Mm. Despite our conscious preferences, you know, weight, height,
yeah,
ethnic background.
Yes.
There's a magnetic attraction that is reminiscent of something more in the past than in the present.
Wow. Is that true? I love that stuff. What inspired you was hearing, you know, your patients say this continuously, and then experiencing it yourself when you went out there into the world of dating? I'm prying.
Has anyone ever experienced a dysfunctional relationship? Any of your listeners? I believe so.
Oh, yeah. We all do. Oh, my gosh. Have I got some stories for you about me, Rob?
All of us. That's what I love about my book.
Yeah, yeah.
One is that it represents my own personal journey and to seek good mental health and then to provide good mental health services. Mm-hmm. But it represents something universal,
yes.
So universal that it's when people read the book, it's intuitive. It's like, oh, yeah. Mm. When they hear me talk about the human magnetism, they go, that makes sense. I always pick the narcissistic person who talks about themselves all the time, who I think is sexy because he's edgy and a little bit brash and charming. And that's what makes me happy is when I get that light bulb look on either a client or a reader, and they start to look inside and say, I don't want to be this anymore.
Wow. That's amazing. By the way, in case you just tuned in here, welcome to The Couch. You're on The Couch with Dr. Michelle and my special guest today, psychotherapist Ross Rosenberg. He is the author of the book we're talking about today called The Human Magnet Syndrome, Why We Love People Who Hurt Us, Emotional Manipulators, Codependence, and Dysfunctional Relationships. And I think most of us have been in situations like this, but folks who are still sort of reeling in and out of these relationships can learn from this book. And if you'd like to ask Ross a question at this point, we'll try to tackle it. Sounds good. 323-203-0815. 323-203-0815. That's the LA number here. Of course, we're international, and I thank you all for listening out there. I can see all the computers lit up. And also, you can email me if you are shy. You don't want to get your voice on the air, please do so. Doc, D-O-C, Michelle with two L's. DocMichelle@AOL.com if you have a question or a comment and you'd like to maybe get just a little bit of advice. We can tackle that, right, Ross? We can do that.
You know what? I'm a recovering shy person. So.
Oh, there you go. See? Well, you have to with this book out. It's really too good, and you're forced to be out there in the limelight. So now, how do we get drawn into our romantic relationships by, as you call it, our dance preferences? I love that, by the way. That is so cool.
let me talk about the idea of the book came from an idea that I created while working with some clients. I was trying to explain to a client why she always picked harmful narcissistic men.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to her, it's like you always want to get into a dance with someone who's controlling, mm-hmm. and you're so and all about himself, and you're so passive and so giving and patient. It's as if you guys are perfectly coordinated in this relationship dance.
Right.
And you stay that way, and because that's what you know and that's what he knows. And she said, my gosh, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So over time, I developed this essay called Codependency Don't Dance, which is on my website at rossrosenbergtherapy.com. And that concept that we are attracted to someone that fits. So the codependent who is all about other people's needs, who feels comfortable when they take care of people, they feel natural,
mm-hmm.
who are they going to dance with?
Right.
And I say dance rhetorically. Or who are they going to dance with? They're going to dance with someone who's natural at taking charge, who natural is taking the lead.
Right.
And it's almost as if, even if they don't like the dance, they feel compelled to stay in it because that's what feels normal to them.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes from their own experience, their own early childhood experience of their relationship with their narcissistic parents.
Oh, my gosh. I love this stuff. Yes.
And I can talk about that later if you want, but that's kind of where it starts.
Yeah. Well, we can talk about that now if you'd like. I mean, I think that's fascinating. How does somebody become, you know, so self-involved or a codependent, from their early environment. Let's blame it on mommy and daddy. Let's go for it.
Well, let's do that. You know, in the book Human Maggot Syndrome, which, by the way, you can buy on the humanmaggotsyndrome.com,
right.
I have a chapter, and it's called The Origins of Codependency, or The Origins of Emotional Manipulator Disorders, or The Origins of Narcissism. And it's very clear that we are hugely influenced by our formative years, our first 5 years.
Right.
And if we are raised in a family in which one of our parents is an emotional manipulator or AKA a narcissist, and it's how we coped as a child that's going to determine how we enter into how we are psychologically in adult relationships.
Okay.
So if we had an emotional manipulator parent and we coped by being likable, charming, we always wanted to make our narcissistic parent like us.
Right.
Because when you have a narcissistic parent, they're only able to give when you make them feel good.
That's right.
The child that learns early on, I'm talking about in infancy and toddler years and younger than that, that mommy or daddy, whoever is the narcissist, gives them that conditional love when they're the good child, the child that listens, the child that doesn't complain, the child that offers help before asking for help. Early on in this child's experience is love comes from when you do things right for others.
Oh, yes.
And when you have a narcissistic parent, that sets the template. The relationship template that's going to be played out as an adult. And that is why when these children grow up, they learn that love is conditional, and they find that they're attracted to these narcissists because that's what they know. They wouldn't know how to, and we use it in dance as an analogy, if they had a relationship with a healthy person, they would not have a dance that would work because they'd be stepping on each other's toes because the codependent dancer, the codependent only knows how to give and be sacrificial. So conversely, how does an emotional manipulator or a narcissist become that? We look at that same the situation of a narcissist having a child, a child that can't adapt, that can't figure out how to please, that can't figure out how to be the loving, the proud trophy object for the narcissistic parent, does not get conditional love. In fact, it gets anger, it gets resentment, it gets abuse, it gets neglect. That's the child that cannot accommodate by being the narcissist wonderful child ends up being the narcissist bad child, and that child's experience in childhood is much more traumatic than the codependent. And as he or she grows up, they learn that the only way to survive is to depend on yourself because no one is there to love you. And then as they grow up, that is their template, their relationship template. It's all about them. And that is a much more traumatic form of childhood.
Absolutely.
That, in the essence, is the explanation of how they become each other.
Wow. So a lot of times they become people pleasers, or they just model after the narcissistic parent and become narcissists themselves.
Well, almost. They become people. It's a matter of how do you cope. So you're not modeling becoming. You're not a narcissist because you want to model after your parent. You are so damaged and traumatized as a child because you're not getting any love or care. You're not able to make your parent feel good about themselves. So unlike the child who's going to be codependent, who can make their parent love them, this child who can't gets hurt, gets traumatized, gets neglected. So the childhood is much more damaging, and that gets played out. And they grow up feeling like they're not worthy of any love despite anything they do, so they learn to take control of their own lives and think only of themselves.
Right.
So it's actually because of trauma, not because of modeling.
I see. So it's called survival, basically. I mean, that's how they survive. Wow, and that is really difficult, and you see that a lot. I see that a lot as well. So on the other hand, then, there's the people pleasers, the codependents.
The people that are more oriented towards the needs of others at the expense of themselves.
Yes, exactly. Can you define what a dysfunctional relationship is?
You know, the word dysfunctional has been so over-exaggerated and misused that it doesn't actually have a lot of meaning these days. So a lot of therapists have a specific meaning, and a dysfunctional person or dysfunctional relationship, and let's go with person, it's a person that has problems that does not rely or have internal resources to solve them, or does not rely or pursue external resources to solve them. Therefore, they perpetually experience problems over and over again. The healthy person has problems And then they somehow figure out how to solve them with internal resources, or they get help, external resources. So dysfunctional individual or dysfunctional relationship is not defined by having problems. It's defined on can you solve them and can you learn from them. Mm. Dysfunctional people cannot solve, do not want to solve, and therefore perpetuate their personal dysfunction or their relational dysfunction.
Wow. Wow, that's fascinating. By the way, in case you just tuned in here, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle. My special guest today is psychotherapist and author Ross Rosenberg. His latest book we're talking about is The Human Magnet Syndrome, and it's why we love people who hurt us, emotional manipulators, and codependents, as well as dysfunctional relationships. They're all in there, which is really fascinating. And if you'd like to call in if you have a question, it's 323-203-0815, 323-203-0815. Or if you'd like to email me at docmichellewith2ls@aol.com, comes right here into the studio and I can take some of your questions. If you may have some questions about your relationships for Dr. Rosenberg as well. So let's talk about those dysfunctional. I hate those labels, don't you?
I don't like the labels. Yeah. In fact, one of the things that I took great pains at is any label that I use in my book, I defined it specifically.
Yes.
Because my book is not a pop psychology book. So when I use codependency, I define it specifically, and then I define it in different ways.
Yes.
And I specifically explained in my book, I defined dysfunction. I even gave the history of the word.
Exactly. Wow.
So I use it as... all trained and capable therapists, we use it as a specific term. Unfortunately, it's morphed into something so general that it doesn't have a lot of use.
Right. That's true. We have an email that just came in, and shall we give it a shot here, Ross?
Okay.
All right. This is from Danielle, and she says, I am a 51-year-old divorced woman who was in a marriage with a narcissist for 10 years. I finally got out of the relationship, but have had men like this in the past. Why do I pick these kinds of men, and how can I change myself to find somebody healthy? That's a great great question. We don't know anything about you, though, Danielle.
Right. Yeah. Well, and I can say to Danielle, the answer is, and if you were here, I'm sure you would agree, that somewhere in your childhood, you probably had a narcissistic parent and a codependent parent, or at the very least, a narcissistic parent.
Yes.
And you learned early on that by being a loving, giving, patient, sacrificing child, you got love and attention.
Ah.
You got noticed, and if you didn't, you would have been ignored or hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And that so was deeply affected your emotional growth that it created, it kind of set you up that when you started to be interested in men, that the man who was like your narcissistic parent felt natural. It's almost like you knew what to do, like the dancer.
Yes.
You choose dancing partners who you know what to do, otherwise you can be on the dance floor and not know what to do.
Yeah.
For example, I've worked with a lot of codependent clients who in the beginning of their work would say, you know, I met this perfect man. You know, he's got a job, he's sensitive, he's a good father, and he's divorced. And he asks me good questions, and he's handsome, but there's no chemistry.
Right.
And they wanted so badly to fall in love with this guy, but there's no chemistry.
Right.
And then 2 weeks later, they'd meet this guy who just knocked their socks off in chemistry.
Right.
And he was a narcissist.
Yes.
So there's something unconscious that gets played out. And it is unconscious because no one wants to be hurt. No one wants to be abused or neglected or forgotten.
Wow.
And my guess to your emailer is that she's acting out this childhood template. And the best way to solve that is to get into therapy and to kind of peel the onion back and look at your history and relationships and trace it back, and you'll probably find this codependent narcissist relationship started really early in your childhood.
Wow. We just got an email back from Danielle, and she said, instantly, she said, you're so right. My sister and I call our mother Mommy Dearest, like the movie. So there you go.
And emotional manipulators in my book, to be defined are one of three personality disorders, mm-hmm. borderline personality disorder,
yes.
narcissistic personality disorder, mm-hmm. or antisocial personality disorder, mm-hmm. or an addiction disorder. And in the book Mommy Dearest, which was about Joan Crawford,
oh, God, yes.
it's suspected that Joan Crawford had borderline personality disorder.
Oh, boy. They sure did portray her as having those qualities, didn't they, in that movie?
Yeah, she was pretty scary. I actually used the clip where she's yelling at her child because she used the wrong hanger. I used that in my seminar to as an example of borderline rage,
yeah.
and the whole crowd gets really quiet when she sees Joan Crawford, played by Faye Dunaway, completely flip out because her child used the wrong hanger.
Oh,
that's what borderlines do.
Yes, they do. They sure do. No, that's a classic. No more wire hangers.
Yeah.
with a goop on her face, and she's scrubbing the floors. But
And I've probably given this training.
Yes.
I don't know. It feels like 100 times.
Right.
So I've seen that clip 100 times, and yeah, it's a pretty powerful clip.
Can you tell us a little bit about your training, and then we'll get back to some more information about why we picked the wrong person in your book?
My professional training?
Yes. I want your training that you give in your lectures.
Oh, okay.
I mean, because that's fascinating. I mean, we'll talk about that, too, because I do, want to share with the audience your expertise.
Well, the training is called Codependents and Emotional Manipulators Understanding the Attraction.
Mm-hmm.
It actually preceded the book. The training did so well that the company, CMI, who hires me, they also are a publisher, and they asked me to write the book.
Right.
The training is a six-hour version of the concepts that are written in the book with a lot more entertainment, a lot more. It's my attempt to teach other therapists who work with codependents and or emotional manipulators to teach them the concepts, because you can't help anyone if you don't understand the concepts.
Yeah.
So I could spend 6 hours telling them what to do as a therapist, but if you don't understand why people are the way they are, it doesn't stick.
Right.
So it's my attempt to teach other therapists to learn about the human magnet syndrome, or the different theories that I created, like the continuum of self and the dance concept, and then actually talk about narcissists and borderlines and codependents.
Wow.
And I travel around the United States. In fact, I will be in New York.
Cool.
This Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, giving the seminar. And if you're interested in the seminar, you could email me at rossr61@comcast.net.
Great. And I'll have all this information up on the archives. It'll be available this weekend for replay or download if you missed anything in the show and you want to hear a little bit more. And also you can find out where to find out more about Ross and the book as well. We're going to be talking about that. You know, you do those lectures and those conventions and everything for therapists. In your book, you have a pretty decent explanation here, I love it, of why we as therapists need to get our act together and not have, problems with clients or judgment. We can't have, any judgment about clients who have, as we call them, AXIS 2 cluster B disorders, because we have to straighten up our own stuff before we can work with individuals who are narcissistic or borderline or, histrionic even. You know, that's pretty narcissistic there. But, I mean, or the antisocial, which is very difficult. You really emphasize the importance of us learning about ourselves and, working through our own early issues and why we may think negatively or possibly judge someone like that, right?
Well, what we therapists all know is that the quality of our services, the quality of the treatment we provide, is distinctly connected to our mental health. And it's no coincidence that many therapists tend to be, at least in the beginning, on the codependent side. We're caregivers. We're listeners.
Yep.
We love. And if the more that we work out our issues, the more that we achieve mental health balance, the more that we achieve personal and relational health, the better we are as a therapist.
Mm-hmm.
You can't see in others what you can't see or refuse to see in yourself.
Right.
If you're an alcoholic and someone and you're not working on it, and you have a client who starts to mention that they're drinking too much, you'll probably miss it.
Right.
If you're a codependent and you, as a therapist, and you have a client who has codependency issues, you might actually see it as normal. Mm-hmm. So it's imperative that we in the helping profession, specifically psychotherapists, dedicate ourselves to a lifelong journey of becoming healthier and better versions of ourselves. One is because it's worth it, and I'm the first one that'll say being on both sides of the couch has been perfect for me.
Yes.
But two is we owe this to our clients. And I can do 3, 4, 5, and 6, but I'll stop myself.
No, you're funny. Absolutely. No, it's so important. I mean, how can we help others if we haven't helped ourselves first? I mean, that's the whole crux of the issue. In case you just tuned in here, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle and my special guest, Ross Rosenberg. He's a psychotherapist and lecturer, speaker, a founder of a clinic and counseling center. And also, the book he's written is called The Human Magnet Syndrome, and it's why we love people who hurt us, emotional manipulators, codependents, and dysfunctional relationships. You know, the people who you describe as, I guess, the narcissists who kind of fall into that category and have those tendencies, more controlling people, not socially aware of others' feelings. It's all about them. How do they get help? How can they learn to understand to be better people? And is this a difficult task?
Excuse me. Unfortunately, it's very difficult. By nature, and when we diagnose someone with a personality disorder, it's important that we diagnose them well because sometimes it's a very sad time in someone's life when they're diagnosed with a personality disorder because it means that there's a high probability they're not going to be able to get help.
Right.
People with personality disorders, almost by definition, are unable to see the problems that they cause other people. Mm-hmm. They tend to be oblivious to their own psychological condition or problems, and they tend to see problems in other people before that they will see problems in themselves. And if someone points out a problem, they tend to get very defensive or angry or have what we call as a narcissistic injury.
Mm-hmm.
So we think of people who are not open to getting constructive feedback, not open to seeking help.
Yeah.
They are not ideal psychotherapy clients. One is they don't think they need help. Therefore, they're not going to make an appointment in your office unless they're,
usually
in trouble.
No, they don't want to get... Or unless their family cuts them off financially.
Absolutely.
Or a partner says, I'm gone if you don't go. Or a family has an intervention, right?
And then they only stay in therapy for so long because part of the essence of psychotherapy is the ability to look at yourself and understand that you can be better.
Yeah.
You can and individuals who are emotional manipulators, the three disorders I talk about in my book, the narcissist, the borderlines, or the antisocial folks, they don't think they have problems.
Yeah.
Now, really, they're quite disturbed and they don't understand it. They don't see that. So not only are they not going to come to your for psychotherapy, but if they're in psychotherapy, they tend to be very sensitive and reactive, and it doesn't take much to get them angry and they quit.
Right.
But with that said, there are specific psychotherapies out there that can work with borderlines and narcissists.
Yes, yes.
And it's proven, research-based proven.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can actually break through and get a narcissist or a borderline in therapy and that they follow through, it does take long, and it is a lengthy process, but they can get help. But it's so darn difficult getting them to go to therapy.
Sure it is.
There isn't much help, unfortunately, for people who are psychopathic or sociopathic, or we call have an antisocial personality disorder.
Right, right. It's very difficult, and so many of the people in jail, prison, you know, have that personality disorter actually, which is
I think it's about 60% at least.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's tough. It's really tough to deal with too. So, you mentioned the therapy. It's DBT, Dialectical Behavioral Therapy, which is pretty good. It's been proven, but it's very intensive, and you have to really know what you're doing in order to help somebody, you know, with those personality disorders. Yeah, it really is. By the way, if you just tuned in, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle. My special guest is psychotherapist Ross Rosenberg. He's written The Human Magnet Syndrome, Why We Love People Who Hurt Us, which is a common thing most of us have experienced. And you know the feeling, or you know someone who's had the feeling. You know, in your book, Ross, you talk about your continuum of self theory. Mm-hmm. That's really an amazing way that you put it down on paper, where you can sort of know where we learn where we fit into certain categories, and it mm-hmm. helps us understand ourselves and why we're attracted to certain people. Can you briefly touch on that?
Sure. The continuum of self theory is my attempt to mathematically connect the magnetic attraction between codependents and emotional manipulators. Mm-hmm. And in the continuum, if we think of it, it represents two opposite ends. Mm-hmm. And on one end of this continuum is the person who is the most severe self-oriented. Mm-hmm. They're all, others-oriented. They're all about other people at the expense of their own needs. So if you think, how would you describe someone who's all about everyone else but not about themselves? That would be a codependent.
Right.
So on one end of the continuum is a codependent.
Right.
But on the other end, what is the self-orientation, the opposite one, is someone who's all about themselves.
Mm.
So what category do we use for someone who's completely about themselves at the exclusion of others? And we have the emotional manipulators, and that is the narcissist, the borderline, mm-hmm. the antisocial, or the addict.
Mm-hmm.
So on the very ends of these, on the continuum are the codependents and the emotional manipulators.
Right.
In the middle, since we're measuring self-orientation, which is do you love, respect, and care for others more than yourself, or do you love, respect, or care for self more than others,
yes.
the very center is a balance between love, care, and respect mm-hmm. of others versus self. I call this the mythically healthy person.
Yes.
That, because we all naturally are on one side of the, you know, we all are either oriented more towards other people and their needs or oriented towards our own needs, and that's not necessarily dysfunctional.
Yeah.
So what the continuum does is it measures your self-orientation.
Yeah.
Are you more about other people's needs?
Mm-hmm.
And if you are slightly, you're still able to have good mental health and mm-hmm. be mutual and reciprocal in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So the lower the number or the closer to zero, the healthier you are and the more you're able to be in a mutual and reciprocal relationship.
Uh-huh.
The higher the number, to the left of zero, the more you're about your self-orientation, which could be towards others, the mm-hmm. needs of others,
mm-hmm.
or the needs of self,
mm-hmm.
and the less reciprocity and mutuality there is in a relationship. So it captures the whole range of individuals from healthy to severely pathological.
Hmm. So it'd be really great to have a zero.
So, well, I guess so. I mean, to be completely balanced towards everyone else's needs and your own, of course that'd be great.
Yeah.
But there's nothing wrong with having a career where you like to help people,
right.
where you enjoy listening.
Sure.
And so Michelle, let's put you on the continuum, and you like to help people, you enjoy listening.
Yes.
So, but yet you're able to set boundaries and be in a relationship where you want someone to take care of you too.
Yes.
But since you're more oriented towards helping people, let's give you on the continuum
okay.
a negative one.
Okay.
So if you're going to, let's say negative two, you just really like helping people, but yet you're able to be in a, so if you're a negative two, who are you naturally going to be attracted to? You're probably going to be attracted to someone who's like more confident, who tends to talk about themselves, who is very much about themselves, but yet can mm-hmm. connect you in a relationship and can be mutual and reciprocal.
Mm-hmm.
So then they would have to match up with you,
yes.
And they would probably be a positive two.
Yes.
And that is the relationship balance, is when the two numbers match perfectly, and that goes into the human magnet syndrome.
Wow.
When the two opposite ends of a magnet are pulled towards each other. So someone who is slightly more oriented towards other people's needs is naturally going to be attracted to someone who is slightly more oriented towards their own needs.
Yes.
Perfect match,
yes.
and it equals zero. And if you're codependent and you're severely about everyone else, you're going to be matched with someone who's severely about themselves. And that, in essence, is the continuum of self theory.
That is fascinating. I love the way you described it. And, I'm looking at this, you know, and I'm here I am being self-indulging. But now I would say a plus two for my husband and a minus two for me. I would say you pretty much nailed it. So I guess it worked.
Yeah, it's hard to be a therapist and be more oriented towards other people's needs.
Yes.
Typically, people we find careers that match our self-orientation.
Yeah.
And by the way, I have using the continuum of self theory. Mm-hmm. I have another sub-concept of that. It's called a zero-sum balance.
Yeah.
If we plot ourselves on a continuum, and if you're a negative two, The only way that you're going to have relationship balance is you have to find someone who's going to be the opposite number. So you're going to be attracted to someone to positive two, and it equals zero.
Wow.
So that's healthy balance. Now you have dysfunctional balance with the codependent as a negative five.
Mm-hmm.
So for balance, for the relationship, which means, or stability, the relationship is going to last even if it's dysfunctional.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have to find someone on the other end, and that's a positive five. So balance equals zero.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Zero equals stability. It doesn't mean psychological health.
Wow. That's right. That is fascinating. And it's easy to figure out, too. This is not a huge, you know, difficult mathematical. He lays it out very comfortably, and you can sort of see where you fit in, listeners out there, if you want to pick up the book, by the way. And we're going to give you more information about how you can do that in just a bit. You also describe the patterns and characteristics of codependence and denial and low self-esteem, compliance, control patterns, and avoidance patterns. I think a lot of people could really vibrate to this, who may see themselves here and might want to get help with this particular point of view and help also with understanding why they are who they are. But I also encourage people who are not, say, codependents, because a lot of people who keep getting into bad relationships with very difficult manipulators may not want to read this book. So how can we get people who are more manipulative to read this book and understand more about themselves, Ross?
I'm laughing because let me fantasize here for a second.
Okay, cool.
Say a million books are going to be sold to this. Okay, may I indulge me with my fantasy?
Yes, I'm ready.
Of a million, or we could say 100. Let's say 100 just to make it mathematically simple. 99% are going to be have a self orientation that's more about others, and they're going to buy the book. The 1% of the narcissists or the emotional manipulators are going to buy the book, mainly because they're going to use it against their partner. They're going to be very angered by this book, and they're going to see this book. First of all, they're not going to see that they have a problem, so they're going to read this book and not identify themselves as an emotional manipulator.
Right.
But if their partner says, you're an emotional manipulator, says Ross says it in your book, I promise you they'll read my book, and they're going to get really pissed off. They're going to see me, even though the book doesn't talk badly or negatively
right.
about emotional manipulators,
right.
but they're going to see it as a negative statement about them. And I've experienced that in my seminars,
you know,
in a room of 100.
Oh, yeah.
And mostly are on the codependent side because of the field that we're in.
Mm-hmm.
Or not the codependent side, the other side. But there's always one or two that are more on the narcissistic side. And they're the ones that are mad and angry at me and start attacking me and telling me, what research do I have to base my opinions on?
Yes.
And they're the ones that always can be really bad audience feedback.
Oh, I bet. They're interrupting you and raising their hand and saying, excuse me, how do you... exactly.
That's oh, yeah. You've been there,
stuff.
Then. You know them.
Been there, know them, done that, and it's all good. It's all good.
We survived.
Yeah, that's right. We survived. Also, you know, what I think is a good deal is someone who is possibly codependent, like our earlier listener who wrote us in, Danielle, will read the book, and then she'll share it with her friends, or she'll share it with her male friends who come to her and say, I can never find anybody. And she'll say, well, this might be you. Or to get back at their husbands or exes, they'll send a copy of the book to them and say, this is you. And they'll you know, highlight it.
And you know what? And it doesn't do well for my sales, but I will tell my codependent clients
yes.
who are actively involved with hugely narcissistic and yeah. partners, I said, don't bring this book home.
Yes.
Because this book will enrage your partner. And this book is not intended to enrage narcissists, but
right.
because they are so sensitive to any feedback mm-hmm. that is negative, they'll see this book and they'll be threatened by it.
Oh boy!
And so yeah, if you're a codependent and you want to make a point and give this book to your narcissistic partner, I'm suggesting that it's not going to really work out well for you.
Yeah.
Because by definition, if they weren't narcissistic,
mm-hmm.
Then they're going to see this and go, oh, yeah, maybe you have a point.
Right.
But if they are truly narcissistic, they have that personality disorder, they are going to deny any aspect of culpability or blame,
wow.
and they're going to push it on you like saying, I'm not, And typically, narcissists will say to a codependent, I'm not narcissistic, you are.
Oh, right.
Because they want to be the better one.
Right.
And they think codependents are better.
It's like a contest. That's right. That's exactly right. We have a couple of minutes left here, Ross. I want to make sure the listeners know how to get in touch with you and or get a hold of your book. What's the best way?
The best way to get in touch with me is on my website, humanmagnetsyndrome.com. Mm-hmm. humanmagnetsyndrome.com. And there's contact information. There's links to my other websites. There's excerpts in the book. And that would be the best way to get a hold of me, or through RossRosenbergTherapy.com.
Oh, great. Great. Excellent. Well, listen, thank you so much for coming on the show today, Ross. It's my pleasure to have you, and a terrific book. Really helpful. I think you'll help a lot of folks out there.
And thank you so much for having me on your show. It's been indeed a pleasure.
All right, Ross. Take good care, and I'm looking forward to the next book, too.
So am I.
All right, then. You have a good one, and have a lovely day. Take good care now.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. All right, folks. Well, that was great. I mean, if you have any questions or comments, of course, you can always email me at docmichelle@aol.com. And, of course, the show will be up and in archives tomorrow with more information on how you can get the book, and contact me if you like. All right, this is Dr. Michelle. Stay on the couch for more great shows here on LA Talk Radio. CBS News is coming up next as well. Let you know what's going on in the world. Have they captured the other bomber yet? We'll find out. All right. As I always say, do take care of yourself first, and then you will be great for others. And that's not narcissistic. That's the way it works in the world. Have a great one. Bye-bye. Say.